On today's episode of the Hit Men podcast, Mo and I talk about J.J. Watt asking for his release from the Houston Texans. We get off into Russell Wilson being frustrated with his team and where his new destination might be. We also get off into the NBA. We talk about the league forcing teams to play the national anthem, the dunk contest going on during halftime of the All-Star game, and a few quick hits including Bow Wow's new career path, our thoughts on Judas and the Black Messiah, Inside the NBA's docuseries starting in March, and a familiar face back around the friendly confines. The sneaker rundown includes the absolute train wreck that was the Trophy Room 1 release, the game show, and big-time shout-outs. Quick disclosure, we had to record this one while Mo was out in Dallas dealing with that weather situation. Praying for everybody to be safe in the state of Texas, but you're going to hear a little bit different podcast than usual. All that being said, THP with the guys starts right now. We had to touch the people real quick. We had to tap back in real fast, but we under different constraints this week, but it's all good. Whenever you hit an MVP chant, you already know what's the deal. It's the most valuable podcast in the world. The Hitman Podcast. Chris checking in. Motorola phone. What's the deal, bro? I know you in a sticky situation. How you feeling?
Man, I'm happy to be warm, man. I'm happy to have some water. I'm doing good, man. We doing real good over here, man. I guess I get right into it, man. I took a trip out to Dallas, Texas this past weekend, see the city, spend the holiday with my girl, just chill out. And yo, we got stuck here. We got stuck here, bro. We still here right now. Dallas got unless you're living under a rock, that the state of Texas got hit pretty, moderately with snow and ice, but this is not an area that's particularly known for getting that. This is probably the worst of weather that they've had in over 30 years. And so dealing with freezing temperatures, things that we normally accustomed to in Chicago that we even with all the snow that, you guys have got down there, you guys have been able to still maintain. Even with just a couple inches of snow here, this whole state is just in shambles. There's so many people without electricity. I think over 2.5 million people without electricity, and now they're turning off water. Some people are on what they call rolling power outages. So it's people that have power for an hour to 2 hours at a time, and then it's off for another hour or two. This area just doesn't know how to take it. The citizens here never have seen anything like this if they've never experienced anything outside of Texas. So it's just been a real kind of stressful situation. We were in our hotel room and we had to get moved out because there was no more heat. The heat wasn't working. Our whole floor had to get moved. So shout out to the hotel staff for being, making sure that we have all the accommodations, under this stressful time. But there's so many people in a worse situation than I'm in, bro. Like people, pipes bursting all over the place, flooded cribs. Like we met some people in a hotel that are here because the crib flooded because the pipes burst. So dealing with a whole lot of that, man. But prayers to everybody out here, in Texas, because I can only imagine, people with families, with kids. I got friends here with kids. that's dealing with this right now, getting their power shut off and getting their, you know, getting the water turned off. And it's hard, man. People are living out their cars, trying to eat in their cars. People are doing crazy things like, you know, putting barbecue pits in their crib and you know, throwing charcoal on it, and they're dying from, you know, carbon monoxide. So it's a real crazy situation here right now. But hopefully it gets better going into the weekend and we can get up out of here. All the flights got canceled. So I'm hoping to get out of here by the weekend, man. But nonetheless, I'm here and I'm blessed, bro.
Most definitely you blessed, bro. You a trooper. You a trooper for tapping in amidst all of that. And it remind me of them weathermen that they always put like in the middle of a tornado and like, yeah, tell us what's going on the ground floor. And in the midst of that, like, in all seriousness, bro, like, prayers up to everybody that's out there in the southern region that's dealing with, you know, unforeseen weather. Like, this is something that they're not prepared for. I got homies in Dallas as well, a few friends of the show, shout out to Kelton. They're Dallas residents, but they said that, you know, they've never seen anything like this in their lifetime, and they've been living in Texas their whole life. So it's a scary situation, but, you know, God got us, and I appreciate you, you know what I'm saying, for tapping in, you know what I'm saying, to touch the people real quick in the midst of all of that.
Yeah, man, absolutely, dog. I mean, this is a little time for me to, you know, I haven't even been able to do anything, man. I packed for like 3 days, and it's going on 6 now, so just trying to find a way to stay busy. And, you know, I love doing the show. So what better way than to tap in for a little bit? You know, I haven't seen too much, but I know enough that we can roll through this show. So, dog, I'm glad to be here for sure. Let's get it cracking.
We're going to keep this one quick. You said you only packed for 3 days. I hope you packed your Manscaped situation out there so you don't look right, so you ain't looking wild when you come back home.
Man, shout out to Manscaped, man. They're keeping me clean, dog, you know. We have to make the quick run to Target to get all the essentials, some socks, some drawers. You know how that go. But yeah, definitely have my Manscaped pack with me for this trip, and it's coming in handy. It's coming in handy. So shout out to the sponsor, man. You know, if y'all don't know, Manscaped is, you know, they're doing the things with the boy. They really holding us down out here, and you can get 20% off if you hit manscaped.com and hit the promo code Hitman. Promo code Hitman gets you 20% off. Shout out to those who's already been, you know, purchasing under the code. Hope that you're getting taken care of, and I hope that your lady like it too, you know?
Straight up, the most valuable podcast and the most valuable product.
Mm-hmm.
Without further ado, man, we're going to get off into the timeline. Y'all already know what's the deal. It's the walk the band. We're going to hit the NFL first. Last time we tapped in, which I believe it was the next day, but J.J. Watt, you and me was into it about the situation. J.J. Watt officially released by the Houston Texans. He's a free agent, multiple-time defensive player of the year, 10-year NFL vet. He's probably going to be the number one, if not the, you know what I'm saying, one of the number one free agents in the NFL free agent market this upcoming offseason. Just wanted you to tap in, especially with you being in Texas right now. Like, what do you think this was all stem? What do you think happened that brought this about in the first place? Because I certainly didn't see this coming.
When I saw the headline, it was like the Texans released J.J. Watt. My initial reaction was like, whoa, shit. Like, you know, J.J. Watt is the Texans, you know? That's the first person you think of other than Deshaun Watson when you think of the Houston Texans. So when I first heard it and I saw the headline, I was kind of shocked. But then I had to start thinking about it, and it just made a lot of sense to me. Especially when J.J. Watt came out and said later on that he asked to be released.
Right.
J.J. Watt was owed $17 million. But J.J. Watt had 5 sacks last year. He's been battling multiple back injuries. Mm-hmm. He's just not the player that he used to be. He's not that terror. He's not that MVP. And defensive MVP candidate like we used to see him. And his time has kind of passed for him to be elite. So for Houston to owe him that much money, and plus the situation that they're in right now, which I think that the organization is kind of in shambles. They're trying to piece things back together. They're trying to make something work, but Deshaun doesn't want to be there. Management just seems like they don't know what they're doing. I think JJ was like, cool, it's cool. I'll pass on my $17 million. I'm glad for what this organization gave me, but I'm out too. So it just made perfect sense to me. But I know you felt different about it.
I did. I felt like, number one, if I'm Houston's management, I'm not just going to release him no matter if he asks for it, if he asks nicely, if he said pretty please, none of that shit. You are a valuable asset. You are the defensive quarterback of our team and one of our franchise players. If I'm going to trade you, if you leaving, I'm getting something for you, regardless of the situation. So the rumor, like word around the campfire is he talking about maybe going back to the crib, playing for the Packers. You saw his brother put out feelers to see if he'd be interested in coming to the Steelers and tag team with him. The smoke right now is that he's interested in going to Cleveland and teaming up with Myles Garrett. To your point, a lot of the reasons that he had to deal with injuries and low production over these past couple of years, J.J. Watt plays hurt. He never takes time off to get these surgeries that he might need and rehab and come back stronger than ever. He's one of them balls to the wall. If I'm breathing, I'm playing type of individuals. And you know, that can be a great asset, but it also can be a detriment to you in terms of playing long term and having high productivity. So my thing is, like, if I was the Houston Texans management, which obviously just dealing with the Deshaun Watson situation, they seem like the buffoons, the clowns of the NFL, clown show of the NFL. But I would have traded J.J. Watt somewhere and got some assets for him, even if it was a couple of draft picks, because I feel like he could still be a lethal weapon in the NFL. It's just a matter of the other part of that is whenever he was elite, he was always elite on his own. There's never been, outside of that year that they got Ed Reed for a season, he's never really had a tag team partner on defense to kind of lighten the load. Brian Cushing was always hurt as well. Jadeveon Clowney was never really, he never really lived up to his number one pick hype or cachet. And so everything kind of fell on J.J. Watt to be the everything, you know, the everything to that defense. So,
I look at it like this. If I'm an organization, I'm not trading. I'm not giving up shit for J.J. Watt. It's just the numbers, because the NFL is an analytics game. And then you got to take a look at J.J. Watt. And the NFL is the what have you done for me lately. That's the one. It's the ultimate what have you done for me lately league. If you look at J.J. Watt, like I said, last year he had 5 sacks. But even more than that, over the last 5 seasons, I think he's only played a little bit more than 50% of the games that he could have possibly played.
He played 32 out of a possible 80 games.
Exactly. So he's played in less than, so just flip flop. He's not played in more than 50% of the games that he could have played in. Well, a guy like that, you just don't know how much he has in the tank. I do believe that he can go to a situation where he's not an every down player, and he can be, give his all in certain amount of snaps for a contender in a good defense. I would suggest that he goes to a good defense. I know that, of course, they put the Packers out there in the mix, like you said. The Steelers were out there. The Cardinals were out there. There's a lot of teams that would like his services, but more so than his services, there's a lot of teams that would love his leadership, because J.J. Watt is the ultimate professional.
Right.
And you know that he's always going to be, you know, a positive force in the locker room, especially for a young defensive team. So wherever he ends up, it's going to be a win for that team. I heard that the Bears were in the mix.
I was just about to ask you.
Yeah, that wouldn't be bad as well. We, you know, what our defense, you know, it's already has a name for itself, but to add somebody like J.J. Watt to that may be a positive thing in that locker room. And maybe positive for some of those other guys, and maybe a boost to a guy like Akeem Hicks, who is already a Pro Bowler in itself. But that may be a nice little addition to have there.
Speaking of the Bears looking for assets, another potential free agent on the move is Russell Wilson. Earlier in the week, he voiced his displeasure with having to basically run for his life and having to do way too much in Seattle than what he feels he should be at this level in terms of being an elite quarterback. The Bears are in the market for a quarterback, and Russell Wilson. We would probably welcome him with open arms. You know, you remember that episode of Chappelle's Show when he played Rick James and he was doing, you feel me? Come on over here.
Bruh, the Bears are not even competent to even put together a package for Russell Wilson. So I'm going to just let you dream on that one. I'm going to let you dream. But, you know, it's interesting, right? Because we praise Russell Wilson for his ability to be able to make those plays out of the pocket. Russell Wilson is the guy who is going to scramble. He's going to avoid sacks. And he's going to make amazing plays, almost like a Mahomes, right? He's Mahomes before Mahomes. He's like Drew Brees, a mobile Drew Brees. That's my comparison for him. He's a Super Bowl champion. He should have been a two-time Super Bowl champion, but that's another story for another day. But he's taking a look at the landscape of the NFL, and if it doesn't show, if the Super Bowl, he's watching the Super Bowl, and I bet you that he's thinking like, this, what Patrick Mahomes have to go through in the Super Bowl is what I go through every fucking week. And there's no way that I can win a Super Bowl like that. There's no way we can get back to the Super Bowl. How do I have DK Metcalf? How do I have these Tyler Lockett? How do I have all these weapons, but I don't have enough time to throw them the ball? You know what I'm saying? And yet, I'm running for my life. And like you said, it only takes one hit. It only takes one hit. And you're done, or you're not the person you used to be. So Russ is looking at this like, man, y'all not trying to protect the investment, which is me. So protect me, bro. Protect me or else. You see Tom Brady. We spoke on the other side. Tom Brady won the Super Bowl. Protection at a premium for him. It's at an all-time premium for him. So Russell Wilson wants a little bit of that. He wants to be treated like a superstar. He wants to be treated like a superstar and elite QB, which he is, and I'm not mad at him for it.
I was having this discussion the other day. I want to pose it to you real quick. In a world where you can have a situation where you can kind of pick your quarterback, we're talking about Russell Wilson right now. If you had your choice between Deshaun Watson and a healthy Dak Prescott as the next quarterback of the Bears, who would you choose?
To be honest, If I had to choose between Dak and Rush, I have to go with Russell Wilson.
No. Dak Prescott and Deshaun Watson.
Oh, Deshaun Watson.
See, I'm picking Dak Prescott.
Why would you do that?
Dak Prescott has had some success, marginal success. He's been in the playoffs. This injury, you could tell, like, it came about due to the lack of protection and productivity. He wasn't getting the most out of Zeke Elliott. And he didn't have a great defense to kind of give him more possessions, whereas the Bears would be in a situation to do that. They give Mitch Trubisky a bunch of different opportunities, and he does nothing with them. Deshaun Watson, on the other hand, hasn't really had that much success. They made it to the playoffs with him at quarterback, but their effort in the playoffs was next to nothing. Even with J.J. Watt, you know what I'm saying, anchoring the defense. When it comes to a leadership standpoint, Dak has more experience. Dak, I just saw him flip a switch, and he was ready to kind of prove himself, not only to the organization, you know, they were playing games with him getting the max contract, but also just to himself to see that, you know, he could be an elite quarterback in the league, and I feel like he's right there on the cusp of doing that. Deshaun Watson is a couple years behind that. I like his skill set. I feel like talent for talent, he's more talented than Dak Prescott, but I feel like right now, Dak Prescott is leadership ready, and I feel like he could take the Bears further at this point than Deshaun Watson could. But when it comes to him versus Russell Wilson, there's no question who I would rather have now. The cool factor, you know what I'm saying? Like, say what you want about Russell Wilson and his situation, but like, I would much rather have a Dak Prescott over Deshaun, but I would take Russell Wilson over Dak Prescott.
All right. Respect what you said. I respect it all. But I have to respectfully disagree with everything you just said, bro. There's no way. Look, so Tom Brady is the GOAT. We put him there, right? Yeah. I think that we all agree Tom Brady is the GOAT.
No question.
Deshaun Watson is arguably the best quarterback outside of anybody named Patrick Mahomes or Aaron Rodgers. Deshaun Watson is right there with that next tier quarterback. There's no way. Let's line him up. Let's line up him and Dak. Who has the better arm? Deshaun.
Deshaun.
Who's better outside of the pocket? Deshaun. Who's better in the pocket? Deshaun. You just, these are all things that you may think are debatable, but it's eye popping on the screen. When you watch Deshaun Watson, there's a certain energy you get from him when you watch him play.
I don't need eye popping for the Bears, though. That's what I'm saying, bro. Like, talent wise, prospect wise, obviously Deshaun Watson's going to win.
You need the best option. Yeah, you need the best option if you're the Bears. Any team that's looking for a quarterback needs the best option. And Deshaun Watson, 9 times out of 10, unless I'm naming Rodgers or I'm naming Mahomes, is the best option. Think about it. You just look at what this dude, he's done more with less outside of anybody named Tom Brady.
For what the Bears do, though, is what I'm saying. Like, I'm not asking Deshaun Watson to go out and win us games. He doesn't need to do that with the defense that we have.
You got
to
do that. No, you got to do that. You want your quarterback to do that so you don't put it all on the defense. I'm just taking Deshaun Watson. Like, I hear what you're saying. And in any situation, Deshaun Watson is better than Dak Prescott. And I'm not knocking Dak, but if you put Deshaun Watson on that Dallas Cowboys team with the weapons that Dak has had over the past few years, there's no way that they don't get to an NFC championship or a Super Bowl. That's just how I look at it. And Deshaun Watson's better. Give me him any day of the week, bro.
Before we get out of the NFL, Bams, we want to send our condolences to the family of Vincent Jackson. He was found dead earlier this week in a Tampa hotel. He was a dynamic wide receiver for both the San Diego Chargers at the time and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Complete shock to the sports world. But, you know, rest in peace to Vincent Jackson. We still don't have details on what happened. We'll be following the story and give details as they come down. But a complete shock, man. 38 years old.
Yeah, man. I was reading a report today from the coroner. They did get a report from the coroner's office that was saying that there was some alcohol abuse there. Mm. And so it's sad to see. I remember watching Vincent Jackson, hell of a wide receiver for the Chargers and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. It's just one of those things that all I can say is, man, just check on your people.
Straight up and
down. Make sure you're always checking on your people. I kind of read some more stuff with a family. He was living in that hotel for a month. But Vincent Jackson made over $7 million in his career.
Right.
No reason for him to be living in that hotel. Family members were saying that they believe, unfortunately, that he was suffering from CTE.
Yeah, that's what it looked like.
Yeah, and so we all know what the game of football has done to players. After they played, and it's not a sport for the weak, man. You're basically giving your life to the sport while you're in it and afterwards as well. So condolences out to his family, but also just make sure you check on your people, man. Make sure you're always checking on your people, because sometimes the people who seem the strongest are fighting battles that, you know, you wouldn't believe.
Let's talk about the NBA, man. Standards are changing day by day. It's kind of hard to keep up with it when we're doing a weekly podcast as opposed to, you know, a daily podcast. But we'll talk about it in a minute. I want to talk about a couple of topics, though, before we give the standings right now. First and foremost on the slate, the league has decided to make NBA teams play the national anthem after a bit of a controversy happened out in Dallas, where you are right now, bro. The Mavericks had been opting out of playing the national anthem for weeks, and it hadn't been reported on, but because they've been getting a little bit more national notoriety with being on nationally televised games with Luka being kind of in the spotlight, that's when the league took notice to it. According to NPR, as of 2:15 today Eastern, the NBA says every team, including the Dallas Mavericks, must play the national anthem in their arenas. After news emerged that team owner Mark Cuban had ordered the Mavericks to discontinue the long-held practice. With NBA teams now in the process of welcoming fans back into their arenas, all teams will play the national anthem in keeping with the long-standing league policy, according to NBA Chief Communications Officer Mike Bass. And that's, again, this report was made earlier this afternoon. Bro, I wanted to get your take on it. You know, we all know we're celebrating Black History Month, obviously. And with that, especially in this new era that we're dealing with, you can't think about the national anthem without thinking about Colin Kaepernick.
Go ahead.
And what people's polarizing viewpoints are on the national anthem, especially now. So I wanted to pose the scenario to you and just get your thoughts on how you feel about the anthem basically being a mandatory practice, especially within the NBA, which is a league that's been so liberal over the course of really our lifetime. They've been at the forefront of things. So I just wanted to get your thoughts on it.
Yeah, man, this is kind of like a similar situation to Colin Kaepernick. Cap was kneeling way before it became a national thing. Somebody noticed that he was doing it, and they followed it, and then they asked him, and then that's when we had the whole situation. Same thing here with Dallas. And my thing with this is, and I've always felt this with all sports, bro, the national anthem has nothing to do with me playing a sport.
Not at all.
I've never understood why we are playing a national anthem before we play a basketball game or football game, baseball game, any of that, right? I've just never understood it. Now, I don't mind honoring our troops. I don't mind honoring the people who put their lives on the line for this country, because I definitely appreciate it. They allow us to, you know, live the way that we live now. But I don't get it. I don't know why. I don't understand it. I don't agree with it. I agree with Mark Cuban. If you don't want to play it, that's your choice. That doesn't mean that you're not a quote-unquote patriot, or you don't love the country because you don't play the anthem. That was a choice that he chose to make. And the NBA making them do it, I guess, they've been doing it already for years and years. They never stopped doing it. But I don't know what's the significance. I would like for somebody to come to me and like tell me, what's the significance of playing the national anthem? Because do we play Lift Every Voice and Sing before every game? Why not? Why don't we just add that?
And they said not for nothing, but they said they were going to do that during the bubble. They said they were going to do it, and the NFL said that they were going to do it. They did it 1 week, and then they got rid of it after the fact.
That's what I'm saying. So, I mean, I understand the significance to the national anthem. I understand, but, like, what about that's important to me? Shouldn't we play that and Lift Every Voice and Sing before every game? So it starts turning into a thing. Like, it's turning into the sideshow before the actual reason why we're here today. Like, while we're here tonight to tip this ball off and play and compete at the highest level. And now we're discussing the national anthem, which probably shouldn't even be here, because some people don't even agree with the terms under which the national anthem was created, or what's the words that they're saying. And we all know about the original national anthem. We're not going to get too much into that, but if you know, what the original national anthem, what the words were. So, for me, bro, I don't care. Play it, don't play it, I don't care. I don't think the players even care. They're just here to play ball. But it's an issue to the higher-ups, because, money talks, and there's things on the line, there's partnerships on the line, there's support on the line, and they need that. So, of course, they're going to abide by the rules and do that.
Well, you brought up a great point, that the players may or may not care about it, or are indifferent to it at best. You see so much protest around it now, where certain NFL teams are standing in the locker room until it's done being played. You choose to put your hand over your heart, which was, for a long time, that was the customary thing. Me personally, I'll be honest with you. When I'm at these games and the national anthem is being played, like, I put my hands behind my back. They say, remove your
hats. Nothing wrong with that.
They say remove your hats. If I'm in the middle of doing something, sometimes I do it. Sometimes I'm not even, I'm oblivious, so I'm not even paying attention to it, because I'm, focused on doing my job. But it's just white noise to me at this point. And I think about, back in the day when we were shorties in school, you were kind of forced to say the Pledge of Allegiance, even if as a black man, or even as, someone that didn't agree with what was going on back then, or even now, like, whether you agree with it or not, like, you were made to say it in school. I got in trouble for not saying it.
Yeah.
After my dad taught me about, its significance and whether or not it pertained to us as a culture. I got, mm-hmm. They called my parents to come up to the school and say, we're having a problem with it. But I said all that to say, like, I think it's much to do about nothing. With so many people being outspoken, whether it be silent protests or, speaking their mind, the media, these athletes are telling you, like, people are not tuning in to watch the anthem being played. They tuning in for us. Like we're bringing in the ratings. So this is kind of just it's par for the course when it comes to people not wanting to let go of certain customs in this country that that are disagreeable or, you know, not palatable by everybody. So I don't know. I think it's much to do about nothing.
Absolutely. And shout out to Mark Cuban.
Straight up.
Because Mark Cuban has always been on the right side of history with a lot of moves that he makes. And honestly, if I was Mark Cuban and I was probably his brain trust or in his head about his thoughts about doing this, he's probably saying, I don't need the politics surrounding the game. Huh. And if my players don't, you know, if they feel a certain way about this, then I'm just not going to play it.
Not only that, but if he really wanted to get technical about it, it's like, bro, 75% of my team are not even American-born citizens. Kristaps is from Latvia. Lucas from Slovenia. Exactly. You know what I'm saying? Like, they don't need to honor the flag. They don't need to honor our national anthem. Yeah, they play here, but they're not U.S. citizens. They don't subscribe to U.S. customs other than playing a game that's Americana. Like, is basketball Americana? No, it's a global game. The NFL is Americana. The national anthem is Americana. It just seems like it's being forced down people's throat for the sake of reason.
And I believe that these players, even though they're international, I believe wholeheartedly that they respect and love being in the United States of America. I wholeheartedly believe that. And so I don't think that, you know, like I said, make anybody anything to not play it or to play it. But I think that there's a bigger agenda at hand with this. And so, you know, so be it.
Another little piece of news that came out late last week was that in the event that they've already confirmed that the All-Star Games gonna be held in Atlanta in March, but they're eyeing doing the dunk contest or the All-Star weekend festivities, including the dunk contest, during the halftime of the NBA All-Star Game, which is completely unconventional. It almost comes off like a sideshow. It's like a halftime performance rather than it being its own event. I really wasn't happy with that announcement at all, but I know they're trying to put together, you know, they're trying things out. So salute to the NBA for at least trying. The mayor of Atlanta, Keisha Lance Bottoms, has already come out and made a statement that even though, you know, our city has, you know, been bestowed with the All-Star Game, that's not an invitation for folks to come in and treat it like it's a traditional All-Star weekend. We will not be opening up the city of Atlanta. They're watching any like promotional propaganda, whether it be on social media or whether there are certain businesses, nightclubs, hotels, things of that nature that are, you know, used to hosting those big time events. They said they're going to be watching those places very closely for any type of promotion because this is not that. Like, they're coming in because the league is, you know, asking them to come in. But beyond that, like, we're not having All-Star Weekend the way y'all usually think it is. So I wanted you to kind of get your thoughts in on that as well. How you feel about the dunk contest being during halftime of the All-Star Game, and how you and do you really think that folks is gonna stay out of Atlanta? You think Atlanta's gonna be a no-fly zone?
Bro, let me tell you this: the All-Star Game is in Atlanta. It's going up. It's up. It's up. And it's stuck, bro. It's up. I don't know what they think is going on, bro. The whole time this pandemic been going on, we've been watching Atlanta be the epicenter of. That shit don't live here, and we're going to keep living our lives the same way. So you think the All-Star Game coming here, and that's going to be a sign for people to be like, nah, you know what? It's time to go in the house. Bruh, it's going up. It's going up.
You sound like you catching a flight. You sound like you ready to cop a ticket.
I'm good, bro. I got to get home first. but no, it's up. Like, I swear to God. It's like, come on now. With it, it's going up. Now, the players might not be there, but let me tell you, these rappers who ain't had no money coming in because of, you know, they can't tour, they going to be in concerts in the club that weekend. I guarantee you that, dog. They getting paid to come make club appearances this weekend. So that's just, let's just get that out the way. Let's not get that even confused. Atlanta's going up. Stay away if you like scared of the Rona and all of that. But I hope they keep themselves safe. Now, this All-Star thing. I'm normally one of the most optimistic people when it comes to certain new things that people are going to try and all of that, especially with the NBA, because they normally get it right. Especially last year, they got it. They held it down with Chicago, you know, under the circumstances, with Kobe passing and David Stern passing and just a lot of things surrounding that game. They got it right. The whole weekend was amazing. Now, so there's no fans. I just believe, like, I don't know, something is telling me that this is about to be bonk as hell. Like, something about it is not right. You know what I'm saying? Like, Steals competition in a three-point shootout before the game. All right, cool. Cool. I give you that. The dunk contest at halftime of the All-Star game?
Trash.
Bro, like, how did that even go? Like, how did that even go? Does it normally, like, I guess they're replacing the performer that normally raps or whatever, whoever the performer is at halftime.
That should be dunkers. 10 minutes. It'd like, be 10 minutes, though.
Bro, that's what I'm saying. Like, what are they going to do? Come out there and do two dunks apiece? Like, I just believe that, you know, of course, they're doing this because there's a lot of money riding on the line for the league and all of this good stuff, right? Cool. Have the game. But damn, like, all this extra stuff, like, which, like, I don't know. I don't know how to feel about it, but in my mind, I just don't think that this is what they should be doing, especially when these players, like so many players and prominent players at that, Kawhi, Bron, Giannis, like you can name them all. They all like, man, we don't really want to do this, but we'll be there. We'll be there physically, but we're not going to give our all to this. I believe that once the game starts, though, and because there's no fans, I do believe that the competitive spirit will take over. I personally believe that. Because it's going to be like an open gym. It's going to be like a run at the gym. With no fans, I don't think there's going to be any pressure, but there may be some type of competitive fire there between a few players. So the game will be cool, but all that extra shit outside of it, let's just scrap it all. That's how I'm looking at it. Or just do everything before the game. Let's just have all that shit happen an hour before the game, and then we can get to the game. But don't put the dunk contest at halftime. That shit is weak. That sounds trash.
Yeah, I think it's trash. Just at the start of things,
bro, stop. Let me cut you off real quick, dog. Imagine a nigga like LeBron doing the dunk contest at halftime, right? But all the first half, this nigga been running sprints. That nigga been playing fucking 18 minutes.
I mean, all we can do is imagine, because he's never done it before. He should have been. Nah.
that's his prerogative. He doesn't want to do dunk contest. But just imagine anybody. Let's not even use LeBron. Let's just say Giannis. This dude go out there and play 20 minutes in the first half, and the halftime over, and this boy got to come out here and try to jump out the gym. Man, that shit just sounds stupid as hell, dog.
Yeah, trash.
It just sounds very dumb. Like, just don't do that.
The thing about the All-Star game is the All-Star game is the second most. Is the second highest rated basketball game year in and year out for the NBA. At some point, it's one of the finals games, but the second most watched is the All-Star game itself. It's higher rated than any regular season game, whether it be Lakers, right. Nets, whether it be Warriors, Cavs back in the day. The All-Star game is the one that's being watched the most. Last little bit for the NBA, Bam. Certain players are going to be on the move. There's no doubt about it at this point. It was made note that Blake Griffin has been sitting out for the Pistons for the past couple of games. I believe he's sitting out tonight against the Bulls. After the organization notified him that they're trying to put packages together for him to be traded. What was interesting was that Andre Drummond has been put in the similar situation. He started in the layup line the other night with the Cavs, and then he went to the locker room and came back out in street clothes as he was notified by the Cavs organization that they're going to try to put trade packages together for him as well. Draymond Green made a comment, or he was in the news rather. He's been a little bit chatty when it comes to the press nowadays, but he had a lot to say about Draymond's situation. So I'm going to play the clip for y'all.
Go ahead.
I would like to talk about something that's really bothering me. And it's the treatment of players in this league. To watch Andre Drummond before the game sit on the sideline, then go to the back, and then come out in street clothes because a team is going to trade him is bullshit. Because when James Harden asked for a trade, and essentially dogged it. I don't think there was no surprise.
Dropped the man.
There's no one's going to fight back that James was dogging it his last days in Houston. But he was castrated for wanting to go to a different team, and everybody destroyed that man. And yet a team can come out and say, oh, we want to trade a guy, and then that guy is to go sit. And if he doesn't stay professional, then he's a cancer, and he's not good in someone's locker room, and he's the issue. And we've seen situations of Harrison Barnes getting pulled off the bench. You know, DeMarcus Cousins finding out that he's traded in an interview after the All-Star game. And we continue to let this happen. But I got fined for stating my opinion of what I thought should happen with another player. But teams can come out and continue to say, oh, we're trading guys, we're not playing you. And yet we're to stay professional. At some point, as players, we need to be treated with the same respect and have the same rights that the team can have. Because as a player, you're the worst person
in
the world.
He goes on for a little bit more, but some really poignant statement, pointing the finger at the league and telling them to kind of be accountable. Bro, what's your thoughts on Draymond's comments about these players in the situation?
He makes a point, but then, like, he makes a point. So I'll start off by that. Draymond is not one to be, you know, shy when it comes to speaking on topics that, you know, are important to the players.
Not at all.
He's almost like an Avenger in a way. He steps out to save them or whatever he's doing, right? But I know, all jokes aside, like, I like that he does this. But I will say that in this instance, I kind of disagree. It's crazy because I'm always on the side of the players getting their money and doing whatever they need to do to make sure they protect themselves as an investment.
Right.
But if you're Draymond, you can't tell me that. Yeah, of course. We did get on James Harden. I was part of that. We all got on James Harden. Like, he quit his way out of Houston. You know what I'm saying? Of course you're going to get on somebody. Anytime we see somebody blatantly quit because they don't want to be somewhere, you're going to get on them because that's not right, right? And the reason why we got on James Harden about it was because he was contractually obligated to play for that team. He signed that contract to play for the Houston Rockets. Whether they were bad, whether they were good, whether no matter what, he signed that contract to play with them for X amount of years. If he was a free agent and he left and went to Brooklyn, nobody would have said a word. But he was contractually obligated to his company, whatever employer you call the Houston Rockets, his team, to play for them. When you sign a contract, you have to abide by that contract. And if you don't, the contract gets terminated or you lose money, right? So in that regard, James Harden was losing money. He didn't want to lose money, so he showed up and he half-assed it, which was quitting. He got traded, and of course, people are going to talk about it. In this instance, Andre Drummond plays for Cleveland Cavaliers. They're not a good team, but he's going out there. He's getting 30 and 20. He's getting 20 and 20. He's out there giving his all, right? At this time, the Cavs are saying that they're looking to trade him. So because they're looking to trade him, this is a mutual thing here. They're talking to him. They're looking to trade him. He's agreeing to being traded. He's fine with it. He's fine with the situation of being traded. So they mutually agreed to sit him out. It's not like they told him, yo, you're sitting, you're not playing no more. It's the same thing with Blake Griffin. Blake Griffin is looking for a better situation. The Detroit Pistons want to trade him, so they're going to let him sit out. So he's not out there half-assing it. And then potentially, because if you play ball, Chris, if you just play any sport, whenever you're normally out there half-assing and quitting, that's when you get hurt.
Basically,
playing your hardest. So I can't look at this situation. Draymond, you are right, because it's not the same when it happens with a player. Or a team. Like, organizations don't really have to speak on how they move. They just move. And players normally take the abuse for moving how they want to move. That's how it is. I understand that. But in this situation, I don't think these examples were the right examples because, I mean, honestly, Drummond has been playing hard all season. And this is a mutual agreement to sit him out until they found him a better suitor for him.
He's leading the league in rebounds.
Exactly. James Harden just quit. That man wasn't even trying to score 25. And there it was no options on that team to score 25 except for him. And he didn't even go out there and score 25 five games straight. We knew he was quitting. But he signed that contract. Andre Drummond was traded to Cleveland. He was traded to Cleveland and did nothing but give his all. And he signed an extension with Cleveland. He signed an extension with Cleveland after that season that he got traded, and still continued to play hard until they told him to sit out the other day. So get these situations, and I appreciate Draymond for speaking up for the players and trying to hold organizations more accountable for what they do. But at the end of the day, because the players are the ones who sign the contract with the teams, I think it's always going to be that way, especially when a player is looking like they're quitting.
Where do you see Andre Drummond and Blake Griffin ending up?
Andre Drummond is going to either be on the Nets, the Lakers, or the Miami Heat. He's going to be on a contender. He's one of those players who he's valuable. Blake Griffin could end up on the Lakers. Before I get to the teams he's going to end up on, Blake Griffin has zero dunks this year, bro.
Oh.
He has no dunks this year. Damn. When is the last time that you have heard of Blake Griffin, Mr. Lob City, having no dunks in the middle of an NBA season? He has none. He shot more threes than he's ever shot in his career. His game has completely transformed, right? And so Blake Griffin's value may not be as high, but a team like the Lakers who need a power forward right now to weather the storm, with AD being out, it may be a good option for him, because I see Blake Griffin in whatever situation he goes to, because I can't really see a lot of teams that could use Blake Griffin, but there might be a contender that might want him to come off the bench.
Pistons are the worst team in the East, third worst team in the league overall, only ahead of the Minnesota Timberwolves and his hometown, Oklahoma City Thunder.
Yeah, man.
The Wizards. I forgot he's behind the Wizards. The Pistons are behind the Wizards too.
I could see Blake going to a team like the Warriors. I could see that. But it would be a bench role, in my opinion. It would still be a bench role. But I would say this. I think that both of them end up getting bought out. I think nobody trades for those contracts. Blake Griffin is old, I want to say $80 million.
Yeah, he signed something stupid a couple years ago.
Yeah, he signed a stupid deal, and he still owed $80 million on that contract. Nobody's picking that up based on his production. And Andre Drummond, he's a free agent at the end of this year. I just believe that nobody's going to give up the assets that Cleveland is probably looking for. Maybe Miami, because they really want to get back in the hunt of things, and they might want to shift Bam to the power forward position. And not have him play as much center. So they may, put something in play to go get Drummond and really make a playoff push. But I think they both get bought out, and then they make the decisions that's best for them. I think that Drummond is the more coveted player. Right. I think more contenders want Drummond because of what he can do. But I think that you were in this group chat with me when somebody sent, somebody said that Drummond, an NBA executive said that Drummond is a guy who will get you 30 and 20, but it absolutely has no impact on the game. And when I read it, I laughed, because part of me thinks that's true. This dude has the most 30-30 games, and it's like his team will lose or it has no impact on the game. You barely knew it happened. So I don't know if these are empty stats or what, but he works hard. He does work hard. I give him that.
I thought when you was talking about the group chat, I thought you was going to talk about Tory Lane's haircut. But yeah, that's a good point that you brought up.
Man, God bless that hairline, bro. That's done.
They said that boy head looked like the Reese cup when you pull it off and part of the candy come off with the wrapper.
He like one of them 11 color characters. I can't remember right now. But he just look like he looked like a character on a show when they get electrocuted and then they cut to them and they got the makeup on, their hair be fried. That's exactly what his ass looked like. Bro, just come home, bro. Just shave that shit off, dog.
I always wonder why Andre Drummond was never really like a coveted asset when he's putting up monster numbers, but his teams weren't doing that well. I was trying to figure out what's translating. Does he not have a motor? Does he have a bad attitude locker room wise? Like, why are people not falling up, crawling over themselves to try to get Andre Drummond? But
because there's no impact. Like, I'm telling you, like, if you, okay, we sit up here right now and you say the name Andre Drummond, we think of rebounding.
Right.
That's what you think about. But then I also think about Andre Drummond out there shooting threes, like he and airballing. Like, I see Andre Drummond out there trying to ISO from 18 feet out, trying to go through his moves like he's Kyrie Irving and finger rolling over the backboard. Like, I see things like that too much from Andre Drummond. Like, he is one of those players that's like Dwight Howard. When Dwight Howard was in Orlando, Stan Van Gundy at the time was saying that Dwight Howard focuses too much on other parts of the game except for playing defense and rebounding the ball. The rest will come. Dwight Howard didn't want to hear none of that. He didn't want to hear none of that and decided to get himself out of Orlando. He went to L.A. to play with Kobe, and all that shit that he was trying to do, Kobe was like looking at him the same way, like, bro, you need to dominate. And the way that you dominate is do what you well at. Stop doing all the other shit that you're not good at.
Yo, we can't call ourselves the MVPs of the podcast game without having the most valuable product in hand. Support for the Hitman Podcast is brought to you by Manscaped, who's the best in men's below-the-waist grooming. Manscaped offers precision-engineered tools for your family jewels. They obsess over their technology developments to provide you with the best tools for your grooming experience. Manscaped is trusted by over 2 million men worldwide. Join the movement for all your below-the-waist grooming needs. Mo,
what's good, bro?
Bro, I know you got a situation where you had something coming through and you had to get right.
Yeah, this is true, bro. This is definitely true. That happened. That happened pretty often. and also, there's been times, I ain't gonna lie, man, it's probably gonna be a little gruesome, but, you know, had a shorty coming over. I knew I had to go ahead, get right, groom up, look nice and tight down there, and I nicked myself. Blood was involved. It was kind of, it was nasty, bro. It was nasty, dog. So, yeah, man, I need something that's gonna help me out. Yeah, I need it.
You was using the wrong blade. That's why Manscaped has redesigned the electric trimmer, the Lawnmower 3.0. The third generation trimmer features cutting edge ceramic blades to reduce grooming accidents thanks to the advanced skin safe technology pioneered by Manscaped.
Yo, that sounds pretty good, man. Like, but for real, I kind of like, and this may be too much information, but I like to take care of myself in the bathroom, like while I'm in the shower. So I, you know what I'm saying? So I don't have no accidents. Is this like waterproof?
You came to the right place, my brother. The waterproof technology allows you to groom yourself in the shower, and there's an LED light which illuminates grooming areas for you to get a closer and more precise shave when you trim it. So you can get super tight, super right for shorty to come through and take care of you. You feel me?
My girl might like this for me, for real, for real. shit, man. What else does this got, man? I'm almost sold on it.
This thing moves like a car, bro. It's been upgraded to 7,000 RPMs and a quiet stroke technology. And let's not forget the charging stand. You can have it in the bathroom. It's a universal charger powered by USB.
Yo, this is dope, man. How can I get it, bro?
The easiest way to do it is to use the promo code HITMEN at manscaped.com to get 20% off your order and free shipping.
And like my brother said, the most valuable podcast can't be the most valuable if we don't got the most valuable product.
Yeah.
So go ahead, once again, get 20% off and free shipping with the code HITMAN at manscaped.com.
So I think until Drummond gets on the team, which as a contender, because as a contender, you can't do all that funny ass shit. You can't be out there running a fast break by yourself at 6'11", bro. You're not even built like that. Like, team's not going to let you do that.
That's something that JaVale McGee would do.
But when JaVale McGee is doing that right now on Cleveland, JaVale McGee wasn't doing none of that when he was playing for the Lakers last year. He was out there blocking shots, catching lobs, and rebounding the ball.
Right.
So when a contender would change his mindset. So that's, I think that, but that Brooklyn, I think that him going to Brooklyn, as much as they need a rebounder, they need a big man, if nobody gets him under control in that offense, no, I'm not going to say that. James Harden, we can talk about it. Let me switch subjects. Let me just switch it real quick. The Nets, how do you feel about them? I've seen James Harden put on a show last night. They came back from down 21 in the second half to the red hot Phoenix Suns, and they won. And I just wanted to know, like, you know, right now the Nets sit at number 4 in the East. They're climbing. They play the Lakers tomorrow. KD isn't playing. AD isn't playing, but how do you feel about them right now? Does it look like the experiment is working?
Well, after tonight, the Nets are 18-12, so they're a game behind the Sixers, who are up right now on the Houston Rockets going into the fourth quarter. They still haven't played enough games together with the three of them, Kyrie, Harden, and KD. And they don't play any defense, bro. Not that, you know, that's a statement that's negated for the entire league, because defense is down across the league. But when you're playing Milwaukee, when you're playing Boston, and when you're playing Philly, if you want to make it to the finals, you got to play defense. When you're playing those Western Conference teams, the Nets are supposed to play the Lakers tomorrow night. KD's out. You got to play defense, bro. And they don't play enough defense, and they don't run any type of sets, which means Steve Nash isn't calling any plays. I think that D'Antoni's over there calling plays. And they have way too much talent to really, you know, have to get into sets or line things up. They kind of just do what they said they were going to do at the beginning of the season. We don't need a whole lot of coaching. We're just going to go out there and hoop. And Kevin Durant knows better than that. You know what I'm saying? Like, at some point, you got to dig in and go to your bread and butter, go with what works.
Right.
So I don't know. Like, the jury is still out for me. Like, I like them. I like them to come out of the East, but I don't like that they haven't played enough together. And as much as I like them to come out of the East, it's not a lock, because Philly is coming. Philly is here, and Milwaukee is here. You know what I'm saying? Right. Like, Boston, I'm not really that much of a believer in them anymore. I feel like they need to break that up at some point, JB and Tatum. And I still feel like if they don't break it up, if neither one of them goes, then Brad Stevens needs to go. But as far as the Nets are concerned, they need more games with all three of them on the floor together, or all three of them playing. Even if they're not together, they need to figure it out where either Kyrie's leading the second quarter or Harden's leading the second unit at some point. They need to have all three of their players healthy and need to have all of them on the floor at one time.
Yeah, you hit that right on the button, bro. Their situation right now, even though it's still early, their situation is very similar to what I saw of the Clippers last year. And that Clippers situation was, everybody knew they were the best team, right? If you looked at them on paper, they're like the best team. They're like, they should get to the finals. Anything could happen when you get to the finals, but they were picked by everybody to be the champions.
Straight up.
What happened was, they didn't play enough together. They didn't. There was too many times where Kawhi was taking off games, Paul George would take off games, they would take off games together. They just thought that when they got to the playoffs, they would just figure it out because they were good enough to do so. But you got to understand, teams build chemistry, and with that chemistry pays off in the playoffs, especially when you have to go to your bread and butter. And so with the Nets, like, bro, I have been going to the finals. I don't know how you beat them four times out of seven. In the East, I'm looking at the teams and I'm matching up with them. And the only team I give the best chance to is Philly, just because of how they play defense.
Right.
But as far as that, I don't see how anybody else can get four games. And it's because of really James Harden, his ability to come in and play the point guard. Because Kyrie, it was obvious he does not want to be a point guard. He never wanted to be a point guard. Kyrie has always wanted to be Kobe. Kyrie's always wanted to be a shooting guard. He always wanted to show off his offensive skill set and how easy he can get to the bucket and score. And he's been able to do so. And James Harden has had no problem playing the point guard and facilitating the offense. It keeps the ball in his hands like how he was in Houston. And it allows him to still rack up triple-doubles and get buckets when he needs to. KD is just there because KD can get 30 in his sleep. It is what it is. So I look at that and I go, right, there's nobody that can beat them. But if they don't start playing more games together, by the time when the playoffs come and they try to rely on this chemistry of them, they try to rely on their just skill sets and knowing that they're the best talent out there every night, they'll get caught sleeping. They'll get caught in them situations where you really got to rely on a certain play, or you got to rely on the teammate to be there. And because the chemistry off, they're not there. So we'll see what happens with that, man. I'm really interested in that. And then, with that being said, I kind of switch real quick. Anthony Davis. Anthony Davis right now is sidelined. He's out. And they're saying it's a calf strain. He suffered it the other night. He came back against the Denver Nuggets. He said that he didn't rush himself back, but it looked bad at first. It looked like he tore his Achilles because he was grabbing right at that Achilles. It had the resemblance of when KD did that same thing right before the playoffs, or in the playoffs, and then they rushed him back against to play in the finals against Toronto, and he ended up tearing his Achilles.
Right.
It looked like that same exact thing. He was holding at his Achilles, and it caught at his calf. He rushed back, and he actually tore his Achilles. So it looks like AD will not be playing until sometime, maybe in late March. I want to ask you, what did that do to the Lakers' chances? Do you think that the Lakers fall off with AD being out? Or in long term, AD's not healthy, what does it do to their championship chances?
Well, I feel like the Lakers kind of been coasting anyway all season. That's just the vibe I've been getting from them. They have another gear that they can turn up to. I think anybody that's watched any of their games, they can tell it's an obvious observation. Right now, they're a game and a half behind the Jazz. They're only a game up on the Clippers. So I think they fall back a little bit, but not due to them not having talent. I think it's going to be primarily due to AD being out, and they're going to miss that productivity. It puts it back on LeBron once again. It puts more work on him. Luckily, they got the horses to kind of run with him. Schroeder's been playing. He's been going galactic as far as his effort and being all over the floor. You mentioned that he might get a all-NBA defensive nod, third team, fringe second team with the way he's been playing. But I think they drop a couple of games. They've been playing. They got a few games at home. Like I said, they're hosting the Nets tomorrow. But when they get ready to go on the road, that's when you're going to need them. And I feel like, one, he shouldn't rush back because the Lakers are in a really, really good spot. Over a third of the way through the season at this point. But they can stand and drop a few, especially in the West right now, because head and shoulders above everybody else, it's the Jazz, the Lakers, and the Clippers. They said this on Inside with Chuck and Shaq and Ernie and Kenny. Outside of those three teams, there's not another threat really in the West. We talk about San Antonio kind of like turning heads right now in terms of how the young boys are playing. We talk about Phoenix being a sexy pick. And then Denver with having Jokic as a MVP candidate and Luka and this and that. But the reality of the situation is those three teams and then it's everybody else. So as long as they don't fall too far away, as long as they don't, rotate too far away from the Clippers and the Jazz, they'll be fine.
They just gotta
play until, they gotta play until, they gotta play AD back into good health.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that the Lakers have enough depth to tread water until he gets back, like you said. I don't think they fall any lower than third.
Yeah.
Because right now, you got the Utah Jazz playing at a high level, and of course the Clippers are right there, right there sitting in that third position. But I think that they tread. And more than anything, I think that, of course, if AD's not healthy, they're not winning a championship. That's just how I look at it. That's just point blank and simple, especially if you're going to meet, if you're meeting Brooklyn on the other side. AD has to be playing at a high. He got to be playing not hurt. He got to be playing at an all-time MVP type level.
Yeah, playing's not going to do it. He has to be playing. He has to be clicking on all cylinders. He has to be completely healthy.
Absolutely. He has to be completely healthy. So you let that take as much time as that should take. The Lakers should be able to get through the first round without him, even if they don't want to, if they want to sit him out for the rest of the season and get him ready for the playoffs, they might as well just do it. Because I think that, like you say, at this point of LeBron's career, they're just, they and this team, the way this team is built, they just trying to win the championship. It don't matter how they get there. They're just trying to win a chip. And so, more than anything, this puts LeBron in a prime time position to win his fifth MVP. It just puts him in a prime time position, because right now it's not a runaway, but it's clear. It's between him and Joel. There's others that sit right there, of course. If you want to put Donovan Mitchell there, you can. If you want to put if you want to put Kawhi there, you can. If you want to put who else can we say? You can tell me any name that comes to mind. I would probably say out of the East, maybe KD.
I would
put KD there. But other than that, I think that it's going to start to become a two man race between LeBron and Joel. But now with AD being out, all he has to do is continue to do what he's been doing this season, and I think that the fifth MVP is his.
Yeah. Speaking of MVPs, before we get out of the NBA, Bam, we want to send happy birthday wishes to the 14-time NBA All-Star, five-time NBA Most Valuable Player, six-time NBA champion, the greatest of all time, all time, Michael Jeffrey Jordan. Happy birthday, 23 in red.
Happy birthday to the GOAT, man. You know, the best to ever do it. You know, I have no problem saying that, man. I have no problem. So, love to Michael Jordan.
Shout out to
go ahead.
I was gonna say shout out to my boy Justin Bryan on Twitter. To celebrate Michael Jordan's birthday in the 1987-88 season, MJ achieved the following accolades: NBA's Most Valuable Player, NBA Defensive Player of the Year, NBA All-Star, NBA All-Star Game MVP. He won the scoring title, the steals title, All-NBA First Team, and All-NBA First Team Defensive. No player in history has achieved all of these in a career resume. He did it all in one season. Huh. The greatest.
Yeah, that's nasty.
The greatest of all time.
It's nasty, bro. That's a nasty thing to do in one season, bro. So definitely salute to Mike. GOAT for sure. A killer. You know, you don't really have to say too much when it comes to Mike. You just got to say the name. We just address him by Mike. Straight and you up. Say Mike, you know exactly which one we talking about. So shout out to Mike. Before we get out of here, though, I know you're speaking about awards, and I just want to put this on your radar right now. The sixth man of the year is Jordan Clarkson from the Utah Jazz. And that's without a doubt. I was ragging Jordan Clarkson about, you know what I'm saying, his fake ass braids that he's wearing in the bubble and shit. I was ragging about that. But dog, I cannot deny what Jordan Clarkson is doing this year, man. He just dropped 40 last week, but he's coming off the bench, and in 25 minutes of play a night, this dude is putting up 18 points a game, bro. In February alone, he's averaging 19.5 points a game. So I got to give, you got to give Jordan Clarkson some his respect, and he's going to be the runaway sixth man of the year, especially with Utah being number one in the West right now. Yeah, we can talk about that later, but I just want to put that on your radar. If you got somebody else that you think is close, because I think there's nobody even close to him right now.
Nah, I'm with you.
You let me know.
Nah, I'm with
you
big
let me
dog.
Know, but yeah, dog, he definitely putting in work for Utah.
I'm with you, big dog. Let us know how y'all feeling in the mailbag, thehitmanpodcast@gmail.com. Hit us up on the Instagram. I'm at Labeled and On. My brother's at Mo_Sal1. And of course, we are at the Hitman Podcast. Let's get off into these quick hits, and I do mean quick. The Olympics, they scaled down quite a bit. They said that they're going to go through with the games in Tokyo this year. There was word rumbling that in the event that they didn't, they were going to host it stateside in the state of Florida. But some of the NBA players have voiced their frustration with the idea that they had to cater their season around being ready for the Olympics. If it were you, bro, would you put more stock into winning a gold medal this year, or would you care more about your NBA championship?
If it was me, I'm going to just try to go get both.
I'm going to try to get both,
but you got to, I think that you're going to be most loyal to the sport that pays you the most. So I think that I'm gonna go chase the NBA championship and let the rest figure itself out.
Yeah.
Now if you're a player who, you're on your last couple of years and you're trying to make it to the Olympics, I think the only person who it is that I think this even concerns is a player like LeBron. If he was to play in this Olympics and this is his last time going around, you're not seeing him next. Even if he didn't go this year, you're not seeing him anymore. You know, you're not seeing him in the next 4 years playing in the Olympics.
For players like that,
that may mean more to them to have that experience. But when you hear players talk and you hear athletes talk, I think they value a gold medal sometimes more than a championship in a respective sport.
I'm kind
of, I don't know, man. I get that sentiment when I be hearing them talk about gold medals.
I'm kind of salty. I was actually supposed to be in Tokyo for the games before everything that went down with the coronavirus. Since then, I've been informed that, you know, they're scaling back on everything. So I won't be making my way over. That would have been my first international trip. Fun fact about the kid, I ain't never been out the country. But hopefully when it comes back stateside, you know, I have another opportunity and we'll be, you know what I'm saying, in better space all the way around. We have fans in the games and all of that. Your big dog, your big homie, Lil Bow Wow. He made the proclamation that he's about to become a WWE superstar. I can't even get it. I'm about to say WNBA. He said he's training to be a part of the WWE, and he's training with WWE Hall of Famer Rikishi Fatu.
Hey, Bow Wow, go sit your ass down.
Little Bow Wow. Just don't know the way you move so fast across the floor.
He's got a better chance of just being a actor on a show that portrays wrestling.
You laughing? Like, he said, like, he really finna do this shit though. He said it's a childhood dream of his. He wants to do it.
Yo, Bow Wow is hilarious, dude. He is the funniest dude, bro. Like, I don't even know if this is part of him just trying to do one of his little Bow Wow challenges. But dog, him in the WWE probably sitting at 102 pounds soaking wet, bro.
Have you seen him? You seen his last video though? Don't disrespect Bow Wow. You seen him in his last video? He done put up some pounds, bro.
Man, I respect him. I think he is a legend in the rap game as far as how he came up and, you know, and his fame. But I didn't see his last video. I wasn't checking for that. Nobody's checking for that. And also, like, bro, come on, dog. WWE, like, come on, bro. Like, come on, G. Like, Bow Mysterio. Come on, dog. Get the fuck out of here, G. Go sit down, bro. Go sit your ass at home and be a family man, dog. See, that's what, like, bro, it's scary, G. I think being a rapper is the scariest profession to have, because once you decide to actually, like, quote unquote, retire, which I think is funny
transition,
tale,
yeah.
You don't, man, the sky's the limit. And some of these dudes don't be understanding, like, dude, you can't just jump into that. Like, you just can't jump. Like, you're going to go jump into wrestling, bro? All right. And you've been trained by Nick. Come on, bro. He's been trained by Rikishi. The dude. Come on, bro. There's probably a 400-pound weight difference between the two. Oh, God, bro. Hey, pray for Bow Wow, y'all. That shit is hilarious.
Bow Mysterio is iconic. That's classic.
Let me tell you, I'm going to watch it, though. I'm going to watch it for sure. If you go to WWE, I'm going to watch it. Because this is going to be pure laughter, G. Straight comedy.
When we was, before, we wanted to send a special happy belated birthday out to the Don, to the original gangster Joe Pesci. His birthday was on February 9th, 2021. I think he turned 78. I think he's 78 years old. What's your favorite mob movie of all time? It's got to be one with the Don, Joe Pesci in there, right?
I mean, he in all of them. So
just about.
Yeah, he in by probably all of them. But without a doubt, my favorite is Goodfellas. Yeah, man.
Nasty, come on, man.
Goodfellas is just, you know, it's a long movie. I mean, all my movies are long. But
yeah.
I love that. I love the plot. I love the lessons that were taught. And there's always lessons in mob movies, right? But I love the lessons of this mob movie. And Joe Pesci, he was in there. But, you know, Ray Liotta, he's probably my favorite. I just love him.
Oh, you like, you the snitches, huh?
Nah, man. Damn.
My favorite.
Ah, damn. He's just my favorite mob actor, dog. He's just my favorite mob actor.
Right on.
No, that was a great movie, G. What about you?
My favorite mob movie is always going to be the prototypical, The Godfather Part 1.
Okay.
That's my speed though. I'm with all of that. I love The Sopranos, Witness to the Mob, Donnie Brasco, Hoodlum, Goodfellas, Casino, The Irishman.
Yeah,
you feel me?
On, man.
You know, that's my bag. Man. That's my bag. Whenever it come on, I stop dead in my tracks and I gotta watch it. Can't forget about Blow with Johnny Depp either.
Come on, man.
But yeah, salute to the God, Joe Pesci, man, one of the all time greats. Just wanted to give him his flowers real quick. Stand on the movie Quick Hits, man. Did you get a chance to check out Judas and the Black Messiah over the weekend?
Fire, bro. Fire.
Give me your thoughts real quick.
Man, it was a good watch, but it was hard to watch.
Shout out to Chicago.
You know, they put Chicago on the map. Shout out to Fred Hampton. Fred Hampton, join you.
Chairman.
Still out there
West
doing
Side.
Good work.
Yes,
in the, yeah, still doing good work in the city. Powerful, very, very powerful movie, man. If you have not seen it, please go check it out.
HBO Your Max, boy.
Yeah, know your history, man. Fred Hampton died at the, not died.
Fred Hampton got.
You already know. He got you know, killed by the FBI. Fred Hampton was 21 years old. And for you to have a hit on you like that by the government, that lets you know what type of power you had and the power you had to unite, you know? And so, yeah, it's a powerful movie, man. Lakeith Stanfield, that's our guy, man. And he had to play, he had to play a character that I did not like, man. I really couldn't rock with him in a movie, but you know, check it out if you haven't, man. Real powerful movie, and that soundtrack is fire that go with it too.
I'm disappointed. I'm disappointed that he says he's from Maywood. That's where I'm from, man. Sucker.
Nah, man. He played his role. He played his role.
He did great. He made me hate him. Shout out Dominique.
Exactly.
Shout out Dominique Fishback too. She did an amazing job as Deborah.
Definitely, man. It was a great movie, and like I said, the soundtrack was cold. Shout out to, you know, Chicago. They put Chicago on
the
map.
G Herbo, what up?
G Herbo did his thing, man. He made the shop proud, made the city proud with some tracks he dropped. Put Bump J on there, Polo G. You know, you already know they had the Voice of the Street Dirk on there. So yeah, man, check it out if you haven't seen it.
Inside the NBA is getting a docuseries starting March 4th. It's a four-part series that go behind the scenes and making one of the greatest shows on TV come to life.
Yeah, man. I can't wait to watch that. I saw a little clip of it, and it looks like, you know, we all love Inside the NBA. I think that no matter who you are, even if you don't like sports, if you have sat down and watched it Inside the NBA for at least 20 to 30 minutes, you've laughed. Yeah. You've laughed hard.
You watch your uncles go at it.
Exactly. Every single time they're on, it's not a dull moment. And so, I want to see the behind the scenes of that, man. It's one of the best. I think it is the best show on television as far as pregame, postgame. It's been the best show on TV, the best entertainment on TV for over 20 years. So it'll be a good watch.
Forgot about these movies. Real quick, give me thumbs up and thumbs down on these two movies. Malcolm and Marie, John David Washington and Zendaya, and give me thumbs up, thumbs down on American Skin.
Well, I'm going to give you American Skin. 10 thumbs up on that. Mm. Man, oof, that was powerful, dog. Mm. Powerful, powerful, powerful movie. Best movie I've probably seen in the last 6 months, for sure. Now, Malcolm and Marie, I haven't got to that yet, but I heard the toxicity is off the chain. So I'm going to go ahead and check that out in a minute. But yeah, man, I could definitely tell you American Skin is powerful, dog. It's so powerful. It's gonna piss you off too, but it's powerful.
Malcolm and Marie was dope. Zendaya stole the show. I got my views on John David Washington. I think he's great, but I got my views on him. We'll say that for another show. Last quick
man,
hit.
My man's Ricky Jarrett. Come on, man.
That's the best he's ever been, in my opinion. But I don't want to piss nobody off.
I just think that
shadow that his old man cast is a little too big, you know what I'm saying?
I give him a chance. I like him. I like all his roles. Black Klansman was good in Black Klansman too. I feel good.
Debatable. And then the last quick hit of the week, the prodigal son comes home. Former Cy Young winner Jake Arrieta re-signs with the Chicago Cubs.
Yeah, let's see if he get that some of that magic back.
Hopefully, you know? So.
So I think he came from the Nationals.
He's at the Orioles, then he's on the Nationals.
And so he comes back home. Hopefully he can deliver some of that magic that he had when he was here. Get the Cubs back to where they were. Good for him.
I forgot to mention this one. This is going to be the last quick hit. I got two more. So, boom.
Yeah.
Tribune Publishing, publisher of the Chicago Tribune, legendary newspaper, and other major newspapers have agreed to be acquired by Alden Global Capital in a deal valued at $630 million. We all know what that means when ownership of a media vehicle changes hands. The narrative behind what's printed, what's being put out to the public changes. So always be mindful, not just of what you read, but who's writing it, because they will hide history from you. So this is a big deal for anybody that still reads the Tribune or reads any print publication. You got to watch who's putting the medicine in the candy. You feel me?
Yeah, hopefully they're using their integrity when they're writing these stories, but no, that is a big purchase for sure.
We're going to wait and see, to be continued. But this is the last one. I really want to get your thoughts on this one because I feel like it'll hit home for you. So Donovan Mitchell spoke out. Y'all know I've been critical of Donovan Mitchell since the start of the show, but he's been impressing me on and off the court this past season. He spoke out about his disdain for Utah, the state of Utah. They created a mandate. I want to say it was a week ago, 2 weeks ago, basically saying that Utah public school systems have the right or have the choice to opt out of teaching Black Heritage or Black History Month material in school for the month of February.
Yeah, it's Utah. Doesn't surprise me.
I didn't know that you could opt out of that. That's crazy.
Yeah. I just don't understand. No disrespect. I have never been to Utah. I've never been there.
Oh, you ain't missing much. But shout out to our Utah listeners, though.
Yeah. But yeah, I'm gonna be honest. I'm just an ignorant statement. But from the outside looking in, if I was Black, that would be the last place I would move. With that being said, I don't think that you should ever, as a parent, like, depend on a school system or people who are not Black to teach your kids about Black history. Mm. You should be more involved in teaching your son or your daughter or whoever you're raising about Black history, because you leave it up to them, you're going to hear some things that definitely is not true or definitely is going to be fabricated to make our country look like they were the nicest people on earth. So go ahead and teach your kids Black history and teach them what's right and put that stuff in front of their face. And I salute everybody, parents who are doing so right now.
Valentine's Day, what you get your shorty? What your shorty get you? What you cop?
You know what? I did get a nice little set from, shout out to House of Athletes, man. Shout out to Brandon Marsh on them. So, yeah, got some sweats on them. They're actually pretty comfortable, dog. So, shout out to the House of Athletes. Shout out to Brandon Marsh on the I Am Athlete podcast. I love what they're doing over there, but yeah, that was one of the highlights of my gifts. I got some other ones too to be disclosed, but
make sure you use that promo code 20% off at manscaped.com. Ball game.
Yeah, man. What's up, man? What you get, dog? I know you got some crazy like a PS6.
Got a little solid razzle dazzle. Nah, it was all about the ladies. Took care of my mom. Took care of the podcast princess. Took care of my shorty. It was all flowers and kicks, man. Everybody got the Carmine Sixes all the way around. Flowers. Okay. Cooked dinner for my OG. So, you know, it was cool.
That's what's up, bro. Love me. I love to hear that.
Let's talk about this trophy room debacle before we get off into this week's rundown. So Marcus Jordan did us a disservice. It's crazy that we're talking about the son on the GOAT's birthday. But basically it went like this. So trophy room owned by Marcus Jordan, sneaker store, streetwear store out in Orlando. They did an exclusive release of the Dusty, the Air Jordan 1, the All-Stars. And the story behind it was like the freeze out. So Michael Jordan was frozen out of the first All-Star game that he was in. They didn't want to pass him the ball because he was a rookie. And everybody was dubbing him the greatest. So that was the concept behind the shoe. They put it in a raffle form, but the way they did the raffle was you had to send in an email request with your name, your social media handle, XYZ. The problem with this story is they were using a regular Gmail account for Trophy Room. They were going to leave the raffle up for 90 minutes. They crashed the email in 2 minutes and 10 seconds. So anybody that put in entries after that, they may not have been honored, whatever the case may be. But they were killing him for this. It's like, bro, how you running a business and using a personal email account? Especially for some type of release like this. Valentine's Day, you know, Valentine's Day releases are usually All-Star Weekend releases. So those always sell out. So just fumbled the pack with that one. He hasn't popped his head up at all. They tried to hit him up in Clubhouse to get a statement. Karen Silver was trying to play Chris Sabin, trying to play a negotiator for him. You know, it was just bad all the way around, bro.
Nah, man, you gotta own that. You gotta own that L, man. It's all right. You know, he probably thought he got it under control. And found out, like a lot of these people that try to release shoes throughout this, that people gonna find a way to blast that shit up. So, I mean, it's a lesson learned to him. And, you know, hopefully in the future, he'll be able to run a better, you know what I'm saying, a better route. But that's another reason why I don't even answer. And it's a waste of my time.
Let's get off into it, man. February 19th is going to be a big release for the ladies, the Air Jordan 1 Silver Toe. Going to be on the Sneakers app for $170. This is a rare, this is probably going to be one of the Sneaker of the Year candidates. One I'm looking forward to is going to be February 20th, the next day. These ain't been out since, I want to say, 04 or 06. The Air Jordan 3 Retro Cool Gray. Also on the Sneakers app, 190 bones. These are hard. And I love the three. So I'm gonna have to get my hands on these back-to-back weekends trying to get lucky.
Yeah, man, them look nice, bro. I might have to indulge.
February 23rd, a week from today, is gonna be the Air Max 90, the Valentine's Day edition. For the ladies, 140 bones. Anything else after that, we're going to hit y'all with it next week, but that's what's going to do it for the rundown for this week. We need the pictures. We need to know what y'all rocking, especially in these snowstorms. Y'all doing beaters. Let me ask you this. When you shoveling snow, I know you ain't seen snow in a few years. It's probably a culture shock to you being out in Dallas seeing snow because you've been out in Moakland for a while. But whenever you would have to run errands or shovel snow or whatever, did you do the beaters or did you throw the Tims on?
Come on, man. Why? How could you even, bro? You would disrespect yourself throwing on some beaters and going to shovel snow. Not the Chicago snow that we get. Not the snow we get at the crib. Bro, you're going to have to put on some boots and lace them up tight, dog. Or you're going to bust your ass in them beaters, dog. Like, there's no way. Yeah, so I definitely have to temp. Oh, been ran through. You know, your grass, you know, I can cut grass in a temp. So my temps was to cut grass.
You cut grass in temps?
My beaters? My beat up, yeah, bro.
I used the black Gefezos for that.
you from the west side? It's a little different. I'm not surprised at all, G. But no, definitely Tim's. Definitely some boots, and I know. And shit, nigga, I hope y'all. I don't know if you've been shoveling snow.
Hell no.
But I seen the snow y'all got up there, and I'm like, damn. Salute to all of y'all that's out there putting in that work, making sure y'all getting out of them parking spots and getting out them driveways. But damn, I probably would be in the crib with mine. I'm good.
I'm gonna make this quick, short, sweet. Game show time. Who would you say has the most NBA championships in NBA history? Which player?
It would have to be Bill Russell.
It would have to be, right? Yo, question. You got, I'm going to give you 30 seconds. Your question, if Bill Russell has the most rings in NBA history, who has the second most rings in NBA history?
Are we talking about as a player?
As a player. I need the second most rings, and your time starts now.
There's a couple players that it could be that have the second most rings in NBA history. This is actually a good question. Damn. So Scotty has six. I'm going to think that Mike has six, but that's not the second. It would have to be...
10 seconds.
It ain't Ori.
That's a good guess. That's a real good guess. But it's not the right guess. Most people would say Robert Horry. So, this is actually going to piss you off. Bill Russell has the most rings as a player with 11, playing 13 seasons. His teammate, Sam Jones, has 10 rings.
My dumb ass.
Playing 12 seasons.
Yeah, makes sense.
Third most is also
his
teammate, Tom Henson, 8 rings in 9 seasons. Another one of his teammates, Casey Jones, 8 rings in 9 seasons. Tom Sanders, 8 rings in 13 seasons. John Havlicek, 8 rings in 16 yeah. seasons. I can keep going.
Yeah, I overthought that question. I should have just said one of his teammates.
That would have been perfect. That's what I was looking for.
My dumb ass. Good question. You got me on that one.
Shout outs before we get up out of here, man. We had fun on this one.
Yeah, this was cool, man. Quickly, my shout outs really is to the people out here in Dallas. To the people in Texas in general, bro. I see what they're going through out here. I'm blessed to be able to pod with you, but there's a lot going on outside of me, bro. So my thoughts and my prayers and my shout outs to them. It's crazy. It's crazy that the state can't do more. These agencies that are supposed to protect, you know, and help and aid citizens more. But they'll make it through, you know what I'm saying? So shout out to them, man. Keep figuring out a way. Sorry that this is happening. But you know, with everything else, you'll make it through. So shout out to the people in Texas.
Very well said, brother. Shout out to the citizens of Texas, not just Dallas, Houston, Waco. Shout out to Texas, big terrible Texas, where legends are born. Y'all make sure y'all stay safe, stay warm, stay prayed up. We're gonna get through it, man. 2021 is just a sequel to the horror flick that was 2020, but we're gonna make it out alive.
Yeah. Can I give another shout out? I'm sorry.
Slide on in there. Go ahead.
Yo, my nuts shout out is to, and we don't even talk about baseball much, but I got to shout out Fernando Tatis Jr., bro.
Papi, Fernando Tatis Jr. I almost forgot.
That man signed a 10-year extension for, I don't want to mess up the number here, but is it $345 million?
I got it right here. Yeah.
Yo, yeah, he got cashed out.
Nicknamed El Nino.
The
third highest baseball deal ever. $340 million is only behind Mike Trout and Mookie Betts for the largest overall deal in MLB history. A 14-year, $340 million contract for Fernando Tatis to stay with the San Diego Padres.
Yeah, he up a lot of M's. So shout out to you. Shout out to you, bro. He can play some ball, too. He can play some baseball, and his pops wasn't bad either. He played for the Cardinals, St. Louis Cardinals. So shout out to him, because that's a lot of M's. And I saw that come across my screen, and I'm always happy for a man getting his money. So shout out to Fernando Tatis Jr.
So I forgot to mention my cops because I wanted to save it for the shout outs. I've been buying black for about 2 years now. I should have been doing it for longer, but last week I bought black all week. Shout out to our boy, our brother Chris Arsenal. I just got my shipment in Uncle Pizza. I got my three bottles. I can't wait to try it out tonight. I got some Italian Fiesta on the way right now. I'm going to throw it on there. So salute to you. Appreciate you, Chris. Shout out
to grab me a bottle.
Yeah, you do. Yeah, you do. I'm going to give you the rating on it next week. Shout out to Specific Sense. Bree Specific, what up? Catch on Power 92 each and every day. I had to chop it up with the big homie. I can't wait to get this situated, get Valentine's Weekend Part 2 started real quick.
Something else, bro.
Shout out to Tier NYC, friends of the show. Man, they keep knocking out these magazine interviews. They're going to get too big for the little folks, man. They had all sorts of celebrities in their gear, bro. JT was in it. Last time I checked, Young Thugger been in it. The Baby been in it. Ross was in it. You feel me?
Yes, sir.
Started from the mud, man. Salute to them brothers, man. Beyond that, man, make sure y'all continue to check in with us each and every episode. We ain't going to say same bat time, same bat channel. Obviously, life and real things is going on. We just going to stay chill to the next episode. With that being said, we're going to get up out of here, man. Holla.
What happened here was a miracle, and I want you to acknowledge it.
All right, it was a miracle. Can we go now?
Oh, a spectacular move by Michael Jordan. Kobe Bryant just sucked the gravity out of a target center. Oh!